Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. We got all the gang here. We got Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
And we have Patrick.
Aye, lad.
Yes.
The only Aussie.
You say Patrick, I got to answer it that way.
Okay, very good. You're exactly right. Yeah. But so, Tom Dorian.
Thank you.
We're going to get your whole name in there so that your mom doesn't call me up.
You wouldn't get a call.
Never mention my boy's name. So here we are, and we are days away from a big event in most of our lives, and speaking as men. Most of our failures usually revolve around this, Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Valentine's Day. And, you know, so what we're going to talk about is, I think we should just talk about Valentine's Day. And because there's a lot of confusion, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys don't agree, or you think like, no, you buy candy, and if you don't, you get in trouble.
That's true.
It's pretty straightforward.
Not much confusion there.
You better come home with a flower or a candy of some sort.
Well, so here's the thing.
Both. That'd be great.
Both. Well, or a puppy. I mean, every once in a while, you know, bring them home a puppy. Now, if you could find a, you know, a chocolate puppy with flowers in its mouth, you have covered all your bases, filled with diamonds, you know.
You've scored for the next 3 years.
So it's interesting that certainly... there are spiritual roots to Saint Valentine's Day, which we'll talk a little bit about that. But then there are also, of course, the secular world, the commercial world wants to get in on the deal.
No,
yeah, they do. Trust me, they do.
Think of the odds.
And so you'll start seeing like Frosty the Snowman, you know, handing out Valentines. They don't. It's not that bad yet. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Valentine. No, but the secular world will say like, well, how do we get people to buy things, right? And so what ends up happening is you start to see a lot of commercials that come out right. I mean, before Valentine's Day certainly, but it's
first week of January.
Yeah. So right after Christmas, and it's like all the Christmas candy, they sell all that stuff, and they put it all 70, 80, 90% off, you know. And then all of a sudden, it's like all the little hearts show up, and you're thinking like it's cold and it's snowy, and you know, and we got so what's going on there? And of course, the ads start, and the ads, you know, used to be. You remember in grade school, Tom? You remember? I don't think Sam, you ever went to grade school. Sam was, you know, he was a different kind of a child. But would you remember we go and we get those little $1 box of Valentines and you would trade them with your class?
Oh, I did that. Yeah. With Scooby-Doo and various other pop culture icons.
Absolutely. So superheroes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tom always did Cabbage Patch dolls. I don't know why he did that, but he did. That was, you know,
you and I are old enough to where that wasn't even around, so...
Cabbage Patch? Oh, yeah. Whatever. But anyway, you know.
No, but when they became popular, you bought Cabbage Patch Valentine's just to hand them out.
Maybe.
So it was kind of innocent as kids, you know.
He started it.
But once the TV really took hold, and if you think about it, I mean, we're selling candy, we're selling all kinds of stuff. But like when you have a big red ribbon on a BMW, and I'm not against BMWs. Yeah. And by the way, if anyone wants to give me one out there, I'll take it. But
with
like,
or without a bow, it's okay.
I don't know anybody that, like, I went and bought her a car, you know. And maybe they do, and maybe that happens, but they're advertising that.
Or diamonds.
Or, yeah,
diamonds.
Show her how much you love her.
That's right. And so you start to see this, and you know, it even gets worse because you have these sultry voices telling you to buy pajamas for your loved one. And it's like these people, like, selling teddy bears that are, you know, filled with some kind of slinky pajama thing or something, and it's like
the listeners are going to love your sultry voice.
It was not very sultry, was it?
So, Deacon Jeff, do you think maybe our culture could be a little confused about the true nature of love?
Thank you for getting us back on track, Ziggy, because that's exactly right. I think that we've gone way down into some kind of seemingly bottomless pit in terms of like what is love.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and if Saint Valentine's, because what is the big thing you see all the time at this time of year, you know, for this holiday, is a big giant heart.
It's true,
and so it is about love. And interestingly, so like on the spiritual side, the church has always been, I shouldn't say it this way, but there's always been a lot of confusion about whether Saint Valentine actually existed or was a composite figure of several different people. And if you look and do a little research on who was Saint Valentine, what you will find is there are no less than 12 confirmed saints in the Catholic Church named Valentine. So, and 8 of them are on Valentine's Day.
Really?
So it's like, was it some kind of great circumstance? I mean, it's like, did it just happen that way? Is it random or is there something else? And so, you know, in fact, the church in the 1960s actually took St. Valentine off the regular calendar, right? So we don't celebrate on the 14th that day as an obligatory memorial for St. Valentine. He is still recognized as a saint. Of course, so little is known of him.
Right.
I mean, his name was Ziggy. We don't know any more than that. No, we don't know much. And it's you know, you'll hear about a bishop and whatnot. And you'll hear about certain small T traditions and legends surrounding Valentine, and stories of heroic this or that. We don't know. And really, it wasn't until the 1400s and 1500s that it became popular and to put the saint on the regular calendar, and for us to equate it with, you know, Saint Valentine's Day being a day of love and this, and so it's like, and then the church kind of thought like, well, we probably need to roll him off that calendar, but it's okay if you celebrate a mass, right, in honor of Saint Valentine on Saint Valentine's Day. There's nothing wrong with that. The church says you have that permission, but it becomes nebulous and kind of a little confusing. And I think also in that means that it makes it easier to be confused, right, in what we view. And if you look at the root of the confusion, back to what Sam was just saying, is I think we're a little confused about love.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that so maybe one of the things we can do for our Valentine Day is to sort of stop and think about what love means. And of course, millions of scriptures about love, faith, hope, and love, about what Jesus says about love, and, you know, and all these things that Jesus is and does, and everything is done out of love. And it's no doubt that love is an important part of things, but I think it's neat to kind of sometimes reflect upon how people confuse their relationship with Jesus. And I'm thinking about the 7th chapter of Matthew, what happens there. And it's in a little section of the Bible where it says the subheading is concerning self-deception, right? And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, meaning the day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. And this idea of knowing the Lord,
mm-hmm,
right? And I want to talk about that for a second because I think it gets to the heart of what love actually is, mm-hmm, right? Let's just talk about like the call to marriage, mm-hmm, and what's going on there. So when Jesus says the word, I never knew you, I mean, think about it. They were prophesying, they were preaching, they were teaching, they were casting out demons. They were doing all these good things. And so you'd say like, that guy, he's holy. He's definitely going to heaven. He's definitely a Christian. He knows Jesus. And Jesus says, depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. And you think, like, what does that mean? Right? And then you start to look at the history. Look at the Old Testament. And you go back to, like, so when Adam knew Eve, the Bible says, what happened? They had a baby.
Right.
Right? And we had a baby. It's a boy. They just showed that Geico commercial just recently. But so, and what about Abraham and Sarah? When Abraham knew Sarah.
Same thing.
Right. They had a baby. And so what's that telling you is that knowledge is that intimate relationship between husband and wife.
Wow.
So this is a big picture thing here, right? So, because I remember, like, there used to be a joke going around like so-and-so knew somebody in the biblical sense, mm-hmm, right? Well, I think we've joked about that so much that we've forgotten what that means. And I'm not just talking about specifically the sexual act so much as I'm speaking about a level of intimacy that you share with one other person on the earth.
nuptiality.
Yes, exactly. The marriage, the wedding feast in the kingdom of the earth, mm. right? That connects you to the kingdom of eternity, the kingdom of heaven, mm-hmm. which is exactly why Jesus said, you know, when they were trying to trip him up, the Sadducees were saying, so which one are you going to be married to? The guy that, you know, if this woman marries
seven men,
which one? And it's like, no one is married in heaven or given unto marriage. And, you know, and it's like, what? You're not married in heaven? Yeah, you're married in heaven, but to God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's how, you know, God reveals his relationship with his chosen people mm-hmm. as a spousal relationship. You know, your creator will marry you as a young man marries a virgin. You know, it's like, and Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is the bride.
And each of our souls are the brides of Christ as well.
Amen. Right. Yeah. And so this idea of love then becomes this intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when Jesus says, I never knew you at the end of time, I didn't have an intimate relationship with you. And he's not talking about a carnal one, right? He's not talking about physical. He's talking about a level of intimacy. And so what we've done, unfortunately, with specifically the sexual act, is that when we betray it, you know, we take it out of the nuptial context, we take it out of marriage, and now it's a problem. We right. distort it, whether it's through pornography or someone who we're not married to or someone of the same sex. You start to realize that when we do these things, that we're destroying the concept of marriage in our lives. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't understand what that act is, and we don't have a person with whom we are in an intimate relationship that we don't share with anyone else, right? And that's why it's so beautiful, and that's why I tell you young couples that I'm preparing for marriage that when you look in your spouse's eyes, you should see Almighty God. Mm-hmm. That's why we get married. Our marriage on this earth is a foretaste of our relationship with God in heaven. So, that means that, like, God doesn't want chocolates and diamonds. He doesn't want flowers, right? He doesn't need a BMW. And so you start to realize that, like, we're chasing after the wrong
thing. But also to add to that, shouldn't people should also see God when they see that couple? Shouldn't they? Isn't that
yeah,
part of it as well?
Absolutely.
So it's
exactly.
Even bigger than just right. those
and,
two.
Right, exactly. And so they become, you know, one flesh.
Right.
Right. And so they could see that relationship right. of Jesus Christ, the intimacy, and go, man, there's holiness there.
Right.
Exactly. No, exactly right. And so we have lots more to talk about here to go into and talk about how we've maybe destroyed St. Valentine's Day and how we can get it back. We're going to take a break. Before we do that, I want to remind folks at home, we've got a great website, right? We want to have them also in our social media.
Oh, yes. Please like us on Facebook and share our posts and comment on them, and also Instagram and Twitter.
And I would love to hear from you. Send me an email, deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history. How can someone so small and weak in the eyes of the world have such a tremendous impact on the spiritual lives of millions around the globe? Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, better known as the Little Flower, was this small person. Born in France over a century ago, she has changed the spiritual landscape of the entire world. Saint Thérèse believed that little things done with great love were more pleasing to God than the mightiest deeds. She wrote, "Love proves itself by deeds, so how am I to show my love? Great deeds are forbidden me. The only way I can prove my love is by scattering little flowers, and these flowers are every little sacrifice, every glance and word, and the doing of the least action for love." The little flower grew up as the youngest of five living children. She was a sensitive child who felt things deeply. These deep feelings and her thoughtful attitude led her to a strong prayer life at a very young age. By her own account, she would find a quiet place and spend hours contemplating the love of the Heavenly Father. As Therese entered her teen years, her older sisters began to go into religious life. This led the little flower to seek entrance to the Carmelite monastery at the tender age of 14. She was initially refused by the superiors of the order, but her persistence paid off by taking her appeal all the way to the Pope in Rome. The superiors of the order were impressed by her persistence and maturity and allowed her to enter the Carmelite order at the age of 15. The next 9 years were spent in quiet contemplation and service inside the tiny convent in Lisieux. Toward the end of her time in the convent, she began to suffer from the effects of tuberculosis. Tuberculosis, a deadly infectious disease that attacks the lungs, leaves the sufferer with a chronic cough, fever, night sweats, and weight loss. Saint Therese suffered seriously from this disease. She was reported to have said, "I have reached the point of not being able to suffer anymore, because all suffering is sweet to me." She accepted her affliction as a gift from God and saw it as a sign of His friendship with her. Little everyday things done in great love can lead us to a life of grace and deeper union with Christ. The little flower can show us the way. I'm Bess Trzemski, and this is another great moment in church history.
Welcome back to the Catholic Cafe. Here's Deacon Jeff.
And we're back in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, and I'm sitting here with Thomas P. Dorian.
Yes, sir.
And Sam Ziggy Rodriguez. Sam Z.
Yes.
That's your rap name, right? Sam Z?
Sam Z, that's correct.
All right, very good. And so we are talking about St. Valentine's Day, the feast day. We talked a little bit about St. Valentine himself, or himself.
Yes.
Since we don't know exactly, and how you know, we've got to, our culture is pulling us away, as it so often does, from the spiritual side of things, and how easy it is to forget, you know, and get drawn into the consumer culture, and let me just if I buy some diamonds and chocolate and all those things for my wife and
flowers,
yeah. All those deals. Now, I'll be honest with you, Dom, do you do flowers on Valentine's Day? Mother's Day?
No, on Valentine's Day? No, I really don't do it on Valentine's Day. I like doing them randomly, and I know I'm not even answering your question, but no, the answer is no.
You're not a big flower guy.
I'm not a big flower guy.
Now, Cindy, not a big flower.
I don't like those days.
Oh, okay.
I don't like, it feels just so consumer that I got to check some box. I don't like that.
You don't want to fall in line.
Right. I'd rather just do it randomly and surprise her that way.
I saw a great Star Wars meme that showed Princess Leia hugging Han Solo, and she's looking up to his face, and it says, "No, really, you don't have to buy me a gift for Christmas." And then there's like that Admiral Akbar, and he's going, "It's a trap." And you know, it's like,
no, I will do something, but
yeah,
I don't do
yeah,
that.
Because I also don't like it when the guys say things like, "Oh, we don't do that." Are
right.
you sure we don't do that?
Yeah.
Have you checked? Have you really checked with your wife? And I'm not saying that women are dependent upon gifts or whatever, but it's like, it's good to have communication. Like, what do you...
Right.
I mean, no one likes
what do
it
you
when...
Expect?
Yeah, exactly. When one of the couple says, "Well, we're not into that consumer thing. We're not spending any money at Christmas." It's
yeah.
like, well, I was kind of hoping to get a couple
You get the
things.
Silent treatment. You know what the answer was.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't do that right.
And so, yeah. And so, you know what? One thing I did for Valentine's Day was, at the time, we had 7 kids. And so, I wrote a poem about each, I mean, so I wrote a poem, and every stanza was a child. There was something about them.
Mm.
So, like, what they were like, and what they did, and what they thought was funny, and what, you know, they loved that. And now, they also loved that after I finished their stanza, I handed them a bag full of candy. So, it was like, it sort of, like, tied the sweets into the I don't know, the love that we have for our kids and the devotion and just the fact that we recognize them as with all the human dignity that God gave them and all the uniqueness of their soul and everything. That was kind of neat.
So Emma and Mary, are they aware of this now?
Well, you know what? They probably feel like they got gypped, but because they didn't go on that ride. And I never did it again because it's like, once you do something like that, you can't just keep doing it every year, right?
You can't top it.
You can't do that. So I do think there are some things that we can do if we're going to kind of try to recapture the spirituality of St. Valentine's Day.
Sure.
And I think number one on the list is probably go to Mass.
Mm.
go to Mass on that day. I mean, why is that so foreign to us that going to Mass on St. Valentine's Day would be like, well, I'm not going, we'll go out to dinner.
It's a great idea.
And I'm not saying you don't go out to dinner or lunch or whatever it is you're going to do, but the reality is, and if you're going to give flowers, give them to her at Mass.
That's a great idea.
Or after Mass or whatever. And so I think going to Mass suddenly puts everything in a spiritual context, you know, and I think that'd be kind of a neat thing to do. What a great date.
Yeah.
Another kind of date I think that would be kind of cool to have would be an adoration date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to go have a sort of a date with, I want you to meet my friend.
Yeah. His name is Jesus.
Yeah. And so you go and you spend time before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And I just think that blesses your union. And it sort of shows your priorities and your willingness to know him and then to introduce him to others.
That's awesome.
I think that'd be a powerful thing to do. Sam's is looking at this stuff going like, I don't have a spouse.
I don't, but no, but I'm taking it in. I think it's fantastic. And I think also, you know, last week we talked about Marian consecration. Consecrating the relationship to our Blessed Mother is a beautiful way to grow, I think, in as a couple as well.
So, yeah, exactly. So the things you do as a couple in that way, where you're really literally inviting Jesus or Mary, who's going to lead you to Jesus, into your life, into your marriage. And even if you're dating, into your relationship.
Absolutely. You know, and praying together and just making the effort to pray together. And a lot of men struggle with, you know, taking hands with their wives in prayer. In an intentional way.
So I've heard of people doing things like proposing on Valentine's Day because that happens a lot. But, you know, they'll do it like at the, you know, the top of Mount Fuji or something. You know, they'll climb up to some ridiculous place and say, screaming out in there and no one can hear them because they want to. Yes. You know, or skydiving, you know. And there's nothing like proposing to the woman of your dreams when you're plummeting to the earth. You know, however many meters squared, however fast you're falling to the earth. Because, like, you've got a limited time. She's not going to wait to answer. You're going to get a quick answer. But I think that, like, if you were going to propose and you're getting ready to make that step, propose, like, at adoration. Go to adoration and propose. I mean, can you imagine just, you're essentially proposing to the Lord and you're going to be in the wedding feast of the Lamb and your own wedding feast, and you're just connecting the wedding feast.
That would actually be incredible.
Yeah, so that I think that'd be a cool thing to do. And, you know, Valentine's Day is a beautiful day to do that.
Yeah.
To sort of reclaim the holiday. Now, another thing that you can do for those of us who are married is renew your vows. And it doesn't have to be in the context of a Mass. Now, you could do that. You could arrange it with Father and say, hey, would you, like, after the noon Mass today or the 6:15 a.m. Mass, you know, whatever. My wife will be there. I won't because I sleep later, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you could ask for it to be in the context of the Mass, but Tom's still laughing over there. Because he knows it's true, you know. I'm going to phone it in. I do. You know. Press 1 if you do. No, but you could just, you know, imagine, you know, we don't encourage people to write their own vows at Mass, you know, at the wedding. Because we want, I mean, it's a very prescribed thing that's happening, and the church has beautiful vows, and they mean so much. We don't want to have people writing their own vows. But at the same time, like, you could actually write like a sort of a re-vowing yourself to your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And to write something about them that to help them understand how much you love them, and then exchange those, you know, verbally on Valentine's Day. You know, I think that would be kind of a, and now you're again, it's marriage, it's the spirituality of that day and sort of reclaiming the love and the connecting with the knowing Jesus part. And then I think another neat thing that you could do is to sit down and define love, to actually write a definition. If you were going to write a definition of love, you find out a lot about people when you ask them to define the words or the terms that they use. And we just accept so many things and think everyone thinks like we do. But there's some really beautiful things to be found out, even after 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of marriage, to be able to say, like, really? You don't like Frosted Pop-Tarts? Are you kidding me? 30 years and I didn't know this. And while Frosted Pop-Tarts, you know, are important, understanding what love is as a couple, I think, you know, and maybe Valentine's Day is a neat time for you to go, like, you know what, we're going to do something a little wacky. today. We're going to define love, and we're going to read those definitions to each other.
So wait, spending money that you don't have on luxury goods that you don't need, is that is on your list, isn't it?
No, it's not. We're probably going to run out of time before I get there. But the honest truth is, no, as you well know, it's not on the list. Because what I would say is that the people that do that, you know, if you look at someone who got a couple that got divorced after 10 years, after 20 years, after 30 years, I bet you they exchanged a lot of really nice Valentine's Day gifts. A lot of beautiful cards they bought at Hallmark.
Good point.
Not that Hallmark's bad. So the trick is not in the card, the gift, whatever.
Gifts that you can show off on social media.
Exactly.
And impress your friends.
Yeah.
Right.
But the gift of love that you give each other, that is immeasurable value. Yeah, right? How beautiful that is. And then lastly, I would just say, you know, you need to know Jesus so that you can introduce Jesus to your spouse.
Amen.
If that needs to happen. But the more you know Jesus, the more you will know your spouse.
Mm.
And the more you know your spouse, the more you will know Jesus in that relationship. It only gets better. It only gets deeper. So we need to look at this Valentine's Day as an opportunity. You got a couple of days to plan some big whatever. Don't tell them that I told you how to do it. But use one of these things to sort of make Valentine's Day sacred, where typically the world doesn't see it that way. Don't you think that would, like, you know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love?
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful thought. Almost as beautiful as Tom's hair.
As beautiful as Tom's hair. On that happy note.
I got nothing.
On that beautiful note, we're going to ask the Blessed Mother to lead us to her son. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Saint Valentine,
pray for us.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.